Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac, the cool one.
What? This is our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast.
I don't know. It's brought to you by Les Schwab, though.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club, Club 1080.
Merry Christmas, bitch.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
I got you, babe. I got you there.
Souk and Rob's passion are always the fashion at the club.
This is a big effing deal.
Yeah, I would agree.
I feel like a total idiot.
All right, welcome back. Let your hair down.
You always got to say that, don't you?
Grab a drink.
Insensitive jerk.
Light up a dart.
That I could do.
Take off your pants.
Wearing shorts. Do you do this like with the first thing you get? When you go home, do you change clothes?
Yes.
That is the very first thing I do upon entering my house.
Yep. Instantly go into basketball shorts and an in-house shirt.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing because like today I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt, but I will go home and put on different shorts and t-shirt as soon as I walk in the house.
It's because we all have those clothes that we probably shouldn't be wearing out.
Yeah.
But they're so damn comfortable.
Yeah.
We only wear them at home.
Because you're wearing shorts too, right?
Yeah, shorts and golf shirt.
Yeah, and a golf shirt. But you'll go home and immediately like, no, this isn't going to work for laying around.
Well, the laying around,
You need more space to move your legs.
Well, I've got these sweet ass sweatshorts that I wear.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they're so nice. If I could wear them every day, I would.
Wait, sweatshorts?
Yeah, they're sweatshorts.
Yeah, I've got a pair of Nike sweats. Are they Nike?
No. They're bros. They're like Hurleys or something.
Because I've got a pair of Nike sweatshorts that I too
are fantastic.
Very much like to lounge in.
And I'm gonna go ahead and throw out something that you probably don't need to know.
I'm ready. No undies.
I freeballing those bastards.
I thought so. Right, I was like, yeah, I'm guessing that you like the fleece.
That's
you like the soft tickle.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then there's usually a rotation of two or three shirts. Now if it's chilly, there's a sweatshirt. But you know, we all have the in-house clothes.
Yeah.
They don't venture out much unless maybe you're like dropping the kids off.
You
or
run to the store or whatever. That's right. What my poncho's for. I like to throw on the poncho and run the kids to school. But
I've got a lot of old t-shirts that have like a hole in them, but they're super comfy, and those are my home shirts.
No question.
Yeah. I just wondered I'm glad to know that I'm not alone. Because I can be wearing something, no matter how casual it is, it's not casual enough for laying around the house. Or let's be honest, on a nice day, there's not a shirt going on.
Oh yeah, Nike does own Hurley. He's right.
Same. All right.
Yeah,
but
they're Hurleys.
They're Hurleys. Yeah, the sweatshirt is an underrated. That's an underrated piece of clothing.
If you can find a good pair.
Yeah.
It's really worth its weight in gold.
But again, this is my larger issue that I have going on with shorts right now. Is everyone is making not only shorter shorts, but they're making the slim fit shorts.
They are.
That's the whole thing now.
It's a little weird for guys shaped like us.
Yeah.
Because somebody asked earlier, you were talking about the LeBron suits.
Yeah.
And they have those, like, the high water
Yeah, they're like super high water.
They're high water and they're really tight.
Yeah.
And they asked this question. They said, what looks worse? Because that's the fashion now. Everything's like form-fitting, you know.
Yeah.
What looks worse? That with the high waters and kind of tight? Mm-hmm. Or super baggy? Mm-hmm. And I would argue that baggy looks worse. Like when you see now, like some of the stuff we used to wear, like the baggy dad jeans and stuff. Dude, that is a bad look. You're better off, at least if you're just talking vanity, just how you look, mm-hmm. you're better off squeezing into a pair of skinny jeans than rolling out the baggy dad jeans.
Yeah, the baggy suit is one too. The guy that's wearing the suit that's like three ill-fitting, sizes too big.
Not good.
Man. That's tough. Or the dress shirt that's like around the waist and he's got like a spare acre of fabric. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's tough. But this whole slim fit movement thing, it's biting me in the butt.
It's tough.
Because there's nothing about me that says slim fit. And I saw this. There was an article today, and it was making the rounds on social media. And I actually saw it on CNN and MSN both had the same article. And it was a gal, and she went into H&M, I believe it is. She went into the store, and she's a size 12. And she tried on a size 12 dress and couldn't get it on. She had to wear a size 18, was the biggest they had, and that didn't fit. And so apparently she's a size 12, and in the H&M, she's a size 20 in their dress.
Wow.
And so she took to social media, and H&M basically had to be like, yeah, sorry, our sizes sometimes can be a little difficult. And so now it turned into this whole body shaming thing where women are like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, you're making size 12s feel like they're, you know, these giant women that are size 20. But there's a little bit of that too, where like now more than ever, Mike's you're a double XL guy too, right?
Yes.
Like half of the double XL stuff is no longer double XL. Like guys have this too. Like I do most of my shopping online, and it's getting harder and harder because I can't trust sizes, even amongst brands. Like, you're like, okay, so I like this brand of shirt. You can't trust sizing. It's like we're a country of fat people and large individuals, and yet somehow the sizes are getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, but I would say this. Slim fit is not for you.
No.
And it's never going to be for you.
No.
Or me, for that matter. Or Mike. But I would say that if you looked at the evolution of your wardrobe,
mm-hmm.
your stuff has gotten slimmer.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, because they just...
So it's...
Mine has, too.
Yeah, I think everybody has. Like, it's just more form-fitting now. And that doesn't necessarily mean slim fit. Even fatties like us are out there kind of tightening our stuff up.
But I just find it interesting that I get that not all sizes are going to be universal, but there's some places like that lady's dress, I sympathize with her. I gave her like a, you go, girl. Like, if you're a size 12, if you're a gal, you should not have to put on a size 20. I get it. Some, if you're a large, there's going to be some fluctuation, but you should not put on a large and have it fit like a small.
Well, that doesn't even make any sense business-wise. Like, why would they even do that? If a woman knows she's a 12 or a guy knows he's a size 35 waist, why have a store that is so off kilter from how everybody else does it? Because then you're just going to confuse your customers.
Yeah, it's
right. Like, it's like I go in there if I'm a 35, which I'm not, but if I go in there and I pull a 35 because I'm a 35 and I have to throw on a 40,
yeah,
that doesn't make any sense to me because everywhere else I shop, I know what you know. I know my waist size. All right?
It's getting harder and harder. I used to like Nike was perfect. Like if you're talking workout lounge clothes, a double XL Nike fit me every single time. And more I'm buying, like you buy Nike stuff online and it's not a double XL and I feel like they're turning their back on me.
So what are they doing with that?
They're going Adidas or Under Armour and that's ridiculous.
What are they doing with that? They're purposefully
shortening and tightening everything?
Well, I get that, but just call it the size that it is.
Yes.
I don't understand the idea of changing the sizes.
Yeah, I don't know.
That makes no sense.
It's very, very weird to me. But I've got Nike dry fit like long sleeve workout shirts that are XLs that fit that I've had for years that fit better than double XL Nike shirts that I've bought within the last 2 months.
Have you ever had it where you've gotten a double XL not from a big brand but just like a random place is selling shirts, and you put it on, and it's like the old double XL size where it's kind of a tent. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's the other way.
Why
yeah.
is this so big, but yet the double XL I bought yesterday is so short that my belly hangs out from it?
Yeah, it's weird. Like this guy says, the I just lost a lot of weight but can't buy new clothes look is really bad.
Yes.
It really is, yeah. man. Like you got to be, nowadays.
Yeah, it's tough. Everything is.
You got to be tight.
Well, and if you're, you know, if you're just not.
And the length of shirts are definitely shortening.
Yes. And that's another one. If you're a tall individual, it's hard. Like you feel like you get a shirt that fits and then you raise your arms and you're wearing like a baby fat shirt. You got like a little crop top on, like a little belly shirt. It's really hard. And then, like, I don't feel like I'm not like just some like big fat guy, but I like shirts and stuff. Like you're like just the width of you, like some of that stuff. No matter like the biggest anyone makes is double XL. So there's like half the stuff out there now because of the fit. I can't wear no matter what, no matter how skinny I got. It'll never work.
It's a broad shoulder thing. I think we both have really, really, really wide shoulders.
Jason.
And all of a sudden it just makes the shirts not fit.
Yeah.
The struggle is real.
It is real. And if you go to like a big and tall shop, that's where you get the square half acres.
Understood.
Like, hey, they got this bass sheet we sewed together and cut a hole in the middle of it. Why don't you throw this one on?
Do your capes still fit?
The poncho does fit. The poncho always fits. That look needs to come back. And when it does, I'm ready for it. I just saw that article today that the women was lamenting the size thing. And I was like, you ain't the only one. It's guys too.
Oh, no doubt.
All right. Let's get back on track here, shall we?
Yeah, let's.
It is official. It has been confirmed. Your anus smells like farts.
Yes, it does.
That's next on The Fan.
1080 The Fan.
Can I get a hot tub?
Okay. Well, allow us to be juvenile for a moment.
Really, for a moment?
Right.
Have you listened to this program for 14 years?
That was amazing. Can you do that again, Mike? That's fantastic.
Is that in harmony? Is that what we're doing right there? Me. That's an F flat.
It's like psychedelic farts.
Do some ayahuasca and listen to fart sounders. Dude, that's trippy.
Wow.
You
I didn't know you could do this.
You drop acid and listen to Pevo, that'll mess you up. Unbelievable.
Bro.
This is not going to be good that Rob figured out how to do this.
No, it's not.
No, with great power comes great responsibility, Rob.
Okay, very serious. All right, Mike, stop. Stop it. God.
You were looking for another one, don't lie.
Very serious science. This is new science. And they have directly observed a molecule deep in the planet of Uranus's atmosphere that confirms its stench.
Yeah.
Therefore, Jason, Uranus smells like farts.
Is this some sort of sulfur chemical that they found?
It is hydrogen sulfide, and it's important for more reasons than just determining the planet's scent.
Why do they need to determine the planet's scent since no one can go to Uranus?
Because
maybe you can go to Uranus.
Oh,
jeez. You just have to be careful.
Well, maybe someday.
Someday you'll get to go to Uranus?
Someday I will get to go to Uranus.
Someday. It's gonna feel like a total idiot. It's going to be a long, long time from now, but let's not close the door on Uranus.
Someday, I will get to smell Uranus with my own nostrils.
Wow. Is that like a bucket list sort of thing? On your deathbed?
It adds another piece of information about the planet and how they form. The planets and how they form, says study author Patrick Irwin from the University of Oxford. Uranus and Neptune formed in a colder part of the solar nebula.
Oh, yes.
How's your solar nebula?
The solar nebula. It's a little funky right now. It's warm outside.
The early stage of our solar system when it was just our sun that was very young and lots of dust. And that was way before Jupiter and Saturn. Scientists have long assumed that cloud, tops near the giant green planet's surface contained hydrogen sulfide and ammonia, but that hypothesis has been based on inference rather than direct observations. So now scientists figured these molecules were there based on an unexplained absence of certain wavelengths of light. Yeah, I'm lost too, so don't.
Basically, can we just say that they figured out that it smells like farts?
It's like guessing something's identity based on a warped version of the shadow it casts without really looking at it. The team peered deep into Uranus's atmosphere.
I've peered deep into Uranus before. And I'll tell you what I found. It's not good.
And, okay, so at and below the part we might call its surface. Oh, boy.
The surface of Uranus as opposed to deep?
Into Uranus.
Deep Uranus?
Using the Gemini North's near... I can't even pronounce these words.
Was there a probe involved?
They report that they've directly detected the molecule at around 0.4 to 0.8 parts per million as ice. And, God, you're right. Who gives a crap?
What are you saying?
Look, yeah. Uranus smells like farts.
They found dingleberries on Uranus, and apparently it stinks.
We've made the joke. So, let's move on.
So don't go there.
God.
Under any circumstances. Where is Uranus, by the way?
It's at the end. Isn't it?
Like, I honestly, I'm at, like, where in
where
the...
Where in the solar system?
Well, you know, the line of planets.
Isn't it the...
Well, Pluto's no longer...
I guess it depends how you count Pluto.
You can't count Pluto.
It's either the last one or the second to last one, right? Neptune and Uranus.
I think it's second to last, isn't it?
That's what I'm asking.
Hold on.
I don't remember.
I thought it's definitely next to Neptune, which is one of the last three. With
Neptune's
Pluto.
A stupid planet too.
more of a Mercury man myself.
Hot planet debate.
No, Neptune is closer. Okay, so Pluto is the furthest out, then Neptune, then Uranus.
So Uranus is in the middle?
No, it's third from the end.
Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Earth, Venus, Mercury.
I would not have guessed that Uranus was there. I would have thought we were a little closer to Uranus. But apparently we're not.
Man, that Jupiter's really big.
Damn Jupiter.
I mean, but do we really know? Maybe Uranus is a lot closer than you think.
Nah, it seems pretty far away here.
All right.
I think, you know, it when you look at it, and I don't know how scale this is, but it's you think about how far it is to Mars, right? I mean, we know... You know, we've sent the rovers up there, and supposedly that's like we'll one day get to Mars. And you look at the distance from Earth to Mars, and then you look at the distance on this from Earth to Uranus or to Neptune.
That's a long way.
Yeah, I'd say so. Just the idea of space in general and Uranus, it's mind blowing.
Well, like I said, hopefully one day we'll be able to sniff Uranus
in person
with our own nostrils.
Yeah, we hope.
Okay, what's this cargo plane story you had?
Yeah, so originally this, have you ever had something where you read it and you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome, and then like it kind of takes the wind out of your sails?
Like that Uranus story?
Like the Uranus story. So I read that Airbus, on their new big jets, I'm assuming these are like their 747s, it's the Airbus A330s, and these are going to be the ones that'll be like transcontinental. So, you know, flying to Australia, the big long flights. And if anyone's ever taken a flight like that, it sucks. Like, we flew to Taiwan, and it's like 17 hours. Sucks to be on an airplane that long. So they're looking for ways to make this more comfortable. And I read that Airbus was going to allow you to go into the cargo hold, and you can sleep. And I don't know why, but originally, like, I had, like, this vision in my mind of just, like, cruising down there and, like having some cots. Like, you can just cruise down there and, like, hey, I'm on a 10-hour, 12-hour flight. I can take a little nap. I'm like, how awesome is that? But then I saw the artist renderings of it, and something tells me these are going to be very, very, very expensive because the artist renditions are actually pretty nice.
What do I Google
for this? Just Google Airbus sleep cargo. Okay. So they're saying that these will be able to be removable if you do need to add cargo to these things. It's not going to affect the loading and unloading of the luggage. But think about, like, on the back of, like, those tour buses where you see, like, the little individual bed compartments.
Yeah.
They've got...
Those are cool.
Yeah, you're going to be going down there, and you can take naps.
Why has no one thought of this?
That's freaking genius. That's what I said. It's like, who wants to sit in their seat? Give me the choice. I'll go down and sleep every single time. Now, I don't know what you do about turbulence or whatever, or if it's only cruising, if you have to come back up. But I guess this is not going to be like a permanent thing where you buy your seat down there. You're going to be able to go up and down from your seat to the sleep compartments. But when I saw how nice they were, it kind of made me wonder if this is going to be like first class and then some. It's like, hey, my ticket is, you know, you're buying a ticket to overseas. Like our tickets to, we went to Bali through Taiwan. They were like $1,000 a piece. Am I going to have to pay $2,000 to go underneath and
Why
take a nap?
Why are first class tickets so expensive?
Oh, gosh.
Why is that?
It's like, brutal.
It's unbelievable.
And they're not the first. Some of the first classes aren't that nice.
I agree with that. But is it
some
because?
Of them are.
Is it because they know business travelers will just pay,
we'll pay for it?
So they just gouge them and they don't even care because the companies generally pay for it?
Probably. Or the guy's got enough money where it doesn't really matter. But some of the flights, when you're walking through and you see first class and you see the difference in ticket, you're like, yeah, I wouldn't pay for that. But then other times, again, on these like trans flights where you're going long distances, some of those first class are insane with the amenities and how nice they are.
Yeah. I get super jealous walking through there on the way back to my cramped little sardine seat.
I know. And you ever see the person that looks like they shouldn't be in first class and you're like, hey,
yeah,
what are you doing there?
You know what I think of? This is terrible, but I think that they are trust funders. Like they just, like I can give no one, if you don't look the part,
yeah,
I will give you no credit for being
there,
able to afford that seat. I look at you and go, yeah, you lucked into some money.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Again, when you're flying a long distance.
What a horrible thing to think, and yet I do think
that. Yeah, you
that.
Do it. Especially because you know, like on some of those long flights, that first class ticket's like $3,000-$4,000. You're like, what? There's no way in hell you're sitting up here.
What is this?
But I want,
you won the lottery.
Like, I want to go under and sleep in that cargo hold. So that's my question. Like, you're taking a flight back to New York, or you're going to what? Italy?
Yeah.
So how long is that flight?
I don't know.
I mean, you're probably into that thing for 13, 14 hours.
No, we stop in. I mean, I think we fly from Atlanta to somewhere, and then that one is maybe 8 or 9 hours.
How much would you pay to be able to go down there and sleep?
You know,
because they didn't say anywhere in this article what the price would be, which means to me it's going to be expensive as hell. And these are coming by 2020, just a couple years away.
I'd pay several hundred dollars.
Yeah, on a
but
long
I wouldn't.
Flight.
I wouldn't go, like this is kind of why we're talking about this. First class prices to me are just not. I'm sorry, I'm not paying that. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So if they charge me like $2,000, no.
No.
I'll be fine. It's only 8 or 9 hours. But if you, like I said, you know, you get to the. If you get to the 300, because every once in a while, first class will open up. Like,
yeah,
for some reason, there will be first
much.
Class seats that aren't that much money. And that always scares me because I'm like, wait, what's wrong with these seats?
Again, Uranus has been in them.
it's just a bad first class. So yeah. It's not really a cool first class. And I often get, I wonder, maybe I'll do that because it's only like, I don't know, $200 more or
yeah,
whatever.
You may consider it.
But no more than that, you know, $200 or $300. It's not that long of a flight. I mean, it is, but it isn't. I can handle it.
It's
a long flight, though.
That's a long flight.
I know, but I'm just saying I can handle it. I'll be fine.
Be a lot better handling it if you were laying down.
It would be nice, but that's a lot of dough.
And I'm guessing, that, like, is this, are they going to have monitors down there? Is this like a free-for-all down there in the cargo hold? You meet the, you meet the lady next to you on the airplane. Next thing you know, hey, you want to go down to the cargo hold?
Mile High Club's going to be reached by a lot more people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Got that bed.
Boy, that's true. By the way, that whole Mile High Club thing is so stupid.
Yeah.
That is so dumb. Who wants to go in there and do it?
Well, I think the whole point is like back of the airplane, like blanket.
That oh, really? I thought it was like bathroom.
There's no way.
Well, it's both, I would imagine.
I can't fit into the bathroom by myself.
Back of the airplane blanket. Like, people are doing it? Like,
yeah.
Just...
Yeah. I've seen two people, one actually the Mile High Club, and then the other one like halfsies on the Mile High Club. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at. Like,
I've
you're talking about full-on relations.
The gal was sitting on his lap on one with
Whoa.
The blanket over, and then the other one, it was you were laying down for a nap.
So if you saw a gal sitting on a guy's lap mm-hmm. on a plane
yes.
with a blanket over them.
Yes.
I mean, 100% of the time they're doing it?
The two that I saw at no point.
And does anybody stop this? What do you do?
Middle of the night. One was going from Florida to Portland.
Middle of the night.
Middle of the night.
So it was one of those planes where everybody's asleep?
Everyone's asleep. No stewards up. It's like 2, 3 in the morning.
Okay.
And I happened to, you kind of wake up, and I was sitting maybe 2 rows and kind of looked back like to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
And it wasn't like I thought that they were like playing pin the tail on the donkey or whatever. It was pretty obvious what they were doing.
Okay, but that's I don't know. I didn't picture that. I pictured just, you know, the flights that were all, like, you know, midday flight to Vegas. Like, you can't get away with that.
No, you can't.
It's got to be a red eye.
Yeah, you go in the middle of the night.
So it's got to be that.
And then the other one that I had was going to Japan. And,
What?
Blanket was over her, obviously not over him. She was just laid down.
Could you demonstrate, please?
Maybe she was trying to tie his shoe. I don't know.
Oh, she was looking for something on the floor?
She was looking for something on the floor. Yes.
All right.
He apparently wasn't. She was looking for something on the floor, and then there was another blanket that was involved. And again, there was a lot of movement. So she was really looking for whatever it was that she was trying to find.
What a great woman.
And that was the same thing, middle of the night on a long flight.
Okay, but I've always thought of it as like in the bathrooms. Those gross-ass airplanes, tiny airplane bathrooms. Like, would you even want...
No.
Okay, let's say this. I'm going to have to find the right person for this.
Like maybe, because if maybe Cindy Crawford... circuit people.
I'm sorry, what?
Like circus people, maybe? Like who's
circus people?
How are you? Small people. How are you getting like the roll-offs?
What? They're little people. Let's please not call them circus people. Well, good grief!
You have to be little and flexible. Hence the circus people.
Oh my god!
Like the little acrobats.
I would like to apologize to the roll-offs. First of all, that was Sook. Second, let's say Cindy Crawford comes up to you on a plane and says, "Hey, big boy."
Can we make it Elle McPherson?
Meet me. Yes.
Okay.
Meet me in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. We're doing it. You're doing that, right? Doing that.
I got it.
You are. It's Elle McPherson. You're doing it.
We couldn't. I honestly think it would be
physically... Well, that's kind of part of my point.
It would be physically impossible.
I think you could.
You could. It would be very... This is my point. It's like really uncomfortable. You could both fit in there, but it would be very strange and awkward.
Look, you're telling me that you've gone into those bathrooms and not had the thought, how would this work?
Yeah, all the time.
In your head, pictured where the two of you would be?
And my thing is, I don't think it's possible. When I go to the bathroom, I have to lean my head on the ceiling. To stabilize myself.
You could fit. Now, let's say, so Elle McPherson, you're probably going to do that.
You're going to attempt it.
Because it's your only chance.
Yeah.
You know, what if it's like... does Kate Upton get you back there?
You're going to have to lower your standards.
Oh, even lower than that.
Oh, way below. Wait,
lower than that.
Lower than that. Like, if you're saying it's just like your average...
I can't think of anyone. No, not average. I don't know. I'm trying to find
Amy Schumer.
Oh, Amy Schumer? Amy Schumer says, come here, big boy.
No.
Yeah, I'm out too on that.
No. Because, look, I know that, A, I'm going to get arrested. B, I'm going to pull something. And there's nothing sexy about an airplane.
No, you're not
going
to pull anything because there's no room to move.
There's nothing sexy about an airplane bathroom.
I know.
Nothing
that's what I'm saying. So where is the line?
Amy Schumer is the line.
That's a pretty low line. Like, so you're saying there's a lot of women that you would do it. You would just suck it up and do it because it's your only chance to, you know... Do it with him.
Look, I'm not, I honestly don't believe that it would be physically possible. I do not think that I could accomplish the act. Maybe you could attempt the act, but to actually...
couldn't perform, huh?
No. I don't believe so.
Fascinating.
I've had to be in those before, like where maybe you've got a rumbly stomach. Just that alone is an ordeal unto itself. And again, that's just me fitting in there. Throwing another person... You'd have to be a really, really small celebrity like Natalie Portman, maybe. Like Kate Upton's a larger woman. No way.
What about little Kathy Griffin?
Maybe then.
She'll tell you jokes while you do it.
Maybe that's what's going to happen.
Oh, God.
But no, I don't think that that's I don't think you'd be able to, at least me, I don't think I'm performing.
I would like to nominate that as either our best or worst segment of the week.
Yeah.
Take your pick. Here's Mike.
A fan.
Double sun power!
All right, well, I have nothing left in the tank for this segment.
I could talk to you about the China rating system, although we only have like 2 minutes left.
By the way, the Cavs and Pacers are tied at 95 with 33 seconds left.
Ooh.
Pretty juicy.
There's some sort of replay going on right now about...
There's a controversy where they're looking at... Oh, Indiana got the ball. Wow. All right, so Indiana ball, tie game, 14, 13, 12. You want my play-by-play? And there's 8 seconds on the clock. Oladipo into the paint. Swatted.
LeBroni. Got a block.
He swatted him. And 3 seconds left. Cavs got the rebound.
He is...
He's going to hit a shot. Watch this.
How much time is left?
3 seconds.
He is amazing. That this is like, what, his 15th year in the league, something like that?
Damn 13, good defense. 14.
Wow. There's never been anything like him. Like, I get that Jordan is the GOAT and he's got six, but just from a standpoint of who is able... Jordan's best, you know, being a scorer, and it was better than LeBron's, but all-around game, I've just never seen anything like that guy, and his ability to affect it on both ends of the floor, it's insane. I'll still always probably defer to Jordan, but at this point in his career, to still be the athlete that he is and be able to affect games like that, it's just unbelievable.
So what's with the Chinese... The Chinese what?
We don't really have time to get into this, but I do want to talk about it. I mean, tease it. Maybe we get to it tomorrow. So there was an episode of... Do you ever watch Black Mirror?
No.
Okay.
Is that on Netflix?
That's on Netflix, and you should give it a whirl. And it's like the... I mentioned earlier, it's like the Twilight Zone. Each episode is independent of each other. Mike, have you watched Black Mirror?
I've heard about it. It sounds really, really creepy and unsettling.
It's pretty... Some of them are good. Some of them are not.
Mike's scared.
But that's the beauty part. They're an hour long. Yep. And if you don't like that one, you just move on from it. But there's some pretty famous people in it. John Hamm's in one that's really good. The first episode involves a politician and a pig, and you should watch it. If you're going to watch the series, watch episode one. Holy hell. It's disturbing. But there's one of them where the gal from Jurassic Park... I forget what her name is, the redhead that's in the new Jurassic Park. She's on there, and it's in a futuristic society. A lot of the stuff is very sci-fi-esque.
Whoa, LeBron did hit a three.
Oh, my Lord.
I told you.
So he got the block.
Game over.
Indiana had the ball with, 7 seconds, drove the lane. LeBron blocked it. They got it, called timeout, and then he hit the game winner.
God, why was I not watching that? Why was I listening to you?
Well, because...
What am I doing?
We're doing a radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Good but point. Now I don't. I want to watch the
see
replay.
It. Look at Brony.
Oh yeah,
bowling up.
He's in full LeBron mode right now.
He's about to send a tweet congratulating himself.
He's gonna go get a new tattoo that says "Chosen." Yep, he's on the scorer's table.
Oh, puffing the chest out.
Yeah,
we're the 4 seed and we can barely beat the 5 seed Pacers, but we did it. Hey,
so true.
He may be able to LeBron his way to the finals, but they're going to get rolled by Golden State or Houston.
Oh, here we go. Inbound. Boy. Is that Oladipo on?
That's
here?
Big time.
No, that's...
That's a deep three.
Yeah, right up top. That's Miles. Who is that?
Tough to tell, but that's a big boy shot. Yikes. Hate him all you want.
Cool moment.
Freaking LeBron James.
Yeah.
You guys enjoying us watching TV?
Yeah, what do you guys think about this?
Well, every now and then.
What do you guys think about this segment?
You just get roped in. I was trying to do the Black Mirror thing.
I don't care about that anymore. Look at LeBroni.
His hair still looks like hell.
Okay, so, all right, so tell me more.
So the whole premise of the episode of Black Mirror is that everywhere you go, people rank you. Like, think like Uber ranking. But it's just your cell phone, and I point it at you, and I give you a ranking based on every interaction we have all day. Okay. So if you are my server, I rank you, you rank me.
Hmm.
And it's like it. And when I point my phone at you, I can see your ranking. It's a real-time thing.
Ooh.
And based on what your ranking is, you can or can't do things in society. So if your rating falls below a certain point, you can't fly on an airplane. You can't live in certain apartments. And so as the episode goes on, it's about this lady that just freaks out, and there's people that live that have chosen to not participate in this, and they're like on the outskirts of society. They have to live a certain way because they refuse to play along with it. Well, I didn't know this, but I guess for like the last year and a half, China is doing this. There is, the Chinese government is giving every one of its citizens basically a social ranking based on whether or not you are trustworthy. It could be everything from things that you write, your job performance, just all these little factors. And based on it, you are allowed or not allowed to buy property, take certain transportation. There was a journalist that wrote some tweets that the government made them apologize for, and she went, or it might have been a him, he went to get on an airplane, and he said that his social rating was too low, and he's banned from flying now.
Fascinating.
And they're saying that the Chinese government is setting up these cameras all over the place, and facial recognition and everything. They're going to be able to tell everything you do, and they said their goal is to have this be a day-to-day interaction thing, and it's going to try to encourage people to behave better or to control people for, you know, basically going against the government. But this is a real thing in China, that based on your social ranking, you're going to be prevented from doing certain things. It's a real thing.
So we don't want this, right? That's my first thought.
Oh, Lord, no.
Don't want that. But what do you think your social rating would be there, guy? You think you'd be pretty good?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm worried about you.
In this case with the government, it probably wouldn't be that bad, but with the Black Mirror one, with the day-to-day interactions with just everyday people, probably not so good.
Oh.
But it can recognize even the way you drive. So if you're a speeder, if you're a lead foot like Mike.
Oh, Mike, boom.
And
lower
you
rating.
In and out of traffic, Mike's going to get dinged.
Suck
and
on
it
that.
May affect the kind of car that you buy because
boom.
You're an aggressive driver.
In your face. About time somebody punished people like you.
Says the guy who once weaved with me on the highway.
I would never weave that fast.
And China is saying that they're keeping how the scoring system works secret, which is causing some people obviously to be very suspicious of this, because like the guy that wrote the political tweets is no longer allowed to fly because they deemed him to be untrustworthy.
Very scary stuff. But in a way, you know, that Uber rating thing does keep you on your best behavior.
And that's what China is saying. They want to encourage people to be on their best behavior.
Well, that certainly does it.
Yeah, don't go to China.
648, John is next on The Fan.
And by BizNet Insurance. Get the right insurance for your business, home, or auto. BizNet offers a number of national and regional carriers to choose from to maximize your coverage at the best value. Online at BISNETT.com.
I'm a wet.
Come on, Rob!
Hey, did you see that Oppo Taco from Mike Zanino today, John?
Listen, I've quickly realized in the last 24 hours that I thought that I was just looking for a shoulder, two shoulders to cry on, but obviously what I've done is I've created a monster.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have told us.
You realize for your birthday you're getting a Mariners jersey with the name Oppo Taco on the back, right?
Yeah, you realize that it will be burned in your backyard in a midnight ceremony shortly after I receive it.
That's fine. You're still getting an Oppo Taco jersey. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I knew quickly. Once Rob sent me the text with like 47 taco emojis today, I knew that I had created a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't really go public that you hate the Oppo Taco thing because it just encourages people.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a rookie mistake on my part. I should really know better.
Yeah.
I did learn that it's the Angels broadcaster that started it.
Oh, that makes it even worse because I hate the Angels.
I know you do. I thought you'd like that little nugget.
Oh, that makes it even worse. That figures. That's something stupid that would start in Anaheim.
Yeah.
I bet it was something stupid Mike Trout did.
The only team broadcaster that I think is, you know, that you would... it could be suggested that it came from that's Sterling. Worse than the Angels is Sterling.
Have you heard his
freaking Sterling?
Have you heard his Stanton call?
No, I don't care about his Stanton.
Mike, you need to see if you can dig us out the Stanton home run call from Sterling, like where he does this weird Italian thing, even though Stanton's not Italian.
Oh, I hate it.
And you know who else? Hell is that?
He's not performing anymore, calling games anymore. But Hawk Harrelson would have said something stupid like that too.
Yeah, Hawk Harrelson was bad. Although if you're a fan of that guy, it's like. Like, Sterling is awful, but Mike, do you like him because he's your guy?
No, he's awful.
Okay.
You don't like John Sterling.
I hate John Sterling. John Sterling is better than Susan Waldman, who is his analyst up there. And that's saying something because they both are horrific.
She was the Roger Clemens is standing in the owner's box.
Goodness, of all the things I've ever seen.
That's Susan.
Of all the things I've ever Yeah. A little bit.
Look, let's all just agree that we missed the great Dave Niehaus. There's bad play-by-play announcers out there. We miss Dave.
Yeah.
It's a long fly ball, deep and cut by the shortstop.
Look, he got a little punchy near the end, but gosh dang it, I love him. And my favorite Niehaus call of all time is, if you go back and listen to it, Randy Johnson, when he throws his no-hitter in the kingdom, Niehaus is so excited that at the end he says, "And Randy Johnson looks to the sky." And then he goes, "Which is covered by the kingdom."
That's fantastic. You know, Niehaus was great.
It's an absolute great call.
He really was great. Okay, we got to go. Bye.
All right, go Mariners.
Go Oppo Taco.
Oppo Taco today, baby.
And I'm not kidding. He will get for his birthday a Mariners Oppo Taco jersey. It's the only way to go.
All right, coming up next, it is Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch to talk a little baseball. We tomorrow are going to be out at Lad Tap House. Southeast 11th over there off of Division. And we'll be there for the NFL draft. So it's a very big day tomorrow, and we got you covered. So listen to the fan all day. What do they say? Rip off the knob of your radio?
Really?
That's what they used to say.
I don't think many people have a knob anymore. It's more of a button.
I know. What are you supposed to do now? Cover the button?
Yeah, maybe cover the button. Put a piece of tape over it.
Don't and say, "Do not push this."
Just go Oppo Taco. That's what you got to do.
All right, Hot Corner's next on The Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.